So the message today, we're celebrating, as I said, the first Sunday of Epiphany and the baptism of Jesus. Now, if we remember last week, Pastor Ralph was telling us about the Magi traveling to worship and give honor to the Christ King. Today, I'd like to add a little bit about our baptism and how personal it is to us. We all know that our baptism represents our new life in Christ, a changed heart, a changed way of living, and a new beginning. So I'm going to ask you this morning to just indulge me and give me the time and the liberty to share with you from my heart. Have you committed to your New Year's resolutions yet? How's that working out for you? If you're like me, you've made a list and you can't find the list. Or you've made a list and you haven't done a single thing on the list. Or you've made a list and you're like, I'm not even going to try. So some of the items that are on my list are to manage my time better, to exercise more, to eat healthier. And the one that I've really been working on for about 3 years is to read all my current books before I go out and buy more books. I don't know if y'all have that problem or not, but Travis and I have boxes and boxes and boxes. And so I love watching the Christian Network channels. And, you know, they're always, you know, showing you the newest book that they've been inspired by. And there's some really, really good things. You can't buy them all. You can't read them all. You can't. But seriously, as we move quickly, this is going to be February before we know it. Let's just consider being Jesus-centered for the whole year, not just for a month. So I bought this new journal, and it's a Jesus-centered journal. Today is the 8th, and I finally sat down last night and got started in it. I'm like, you've missed the whole week, Tina. But it's okay. It's not about my timing. It's about his timing. So one of the things it said was to write down, take 5 or 10 minutes, and just think about your priorities. What is important to you right now? Good or bad, don't judge yourself. Write them down. Okay? 10, 15 minutes later, pray about your priorities to be Jesus-centered so that you love like he loves. Do your priorities reflect his love? I have to admit, some of mine were pretty selfish. So how can we accomplish this? How can we be Jesus-centered? And it's simple. We stay attached to the vine. When we do this, we love others. Jesus tells us how to do this in John 15. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. You love each other in the same way I have loved you. That's pretty simple. Pretty simple. And I know you all have heard this, but every time I read this, it just gets to me. In 1 Corinthians 13, it describes it for us perfectly. And I believe when we start to have to make decisions about things, or maybe just starting our day out, say this with intention. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It is not boastful. It is not proud. And it's not rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongdoing. It does not rejoice about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It is always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to share some of my resolutions to live my life fully centered on Jesus. I'm going to put God as my priority. He's my number one. I love my husband with all my heart, but I love Jesus more.
He does.
And I tell him that on a regular basis. I'm going to live by the golden rule. I'm going to treat everybody like I would treat myself. And I'm pretty selfish. I treat myself pretty good. I'm going to be intentional by staying in the Word and prayer. And last, but certainly not least, I'm going to keep a servant's heart in everything I do and say. Now, I know at the end of every day, maybe multiple times a day, I'm going to have to ask for forgiveness, but I know that I walk in grace. So to live a life that is Christ-centered, we should do our best to keep our hearts in good condition. So please allow me for just a few minutes, and I'll put my gloves on, and I'm going to conduct a spiritual heart checkup. Do we have a proud heart? Pride is an independent spirit, and it's an all-about-me attitude. We would serve ourselves well if we remember that all the glory belongs to Him, not to us. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He woos us. He created us. Do we have a judgmental heart? It's not easy to recognize that spirit sometimes, but it usually comes in the form of complaining or "I deserve it." Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said that?
I have.
Matthew 7 warns us about judging. At least you be judged. A critical spirit doubts that they can live up to their own standards. They are always judging other people and themselves, and they always come up short. And this is where Jesus fills in the lack and that gap. Do you have an angry heart? One that says, "I'm owed something." Anger management is just that. It's an attempt to manage anger. The Bible calls for us to get rid of all bitterness, wrath, anger, slander, malice. Do you have a hopeless heart? Has your heart been angry for a long time and your life is sick and tired? In other words, the hope that is delayed will make the heart sick. Do you have a hard heart? Hard hearts have a tough time of hearing encouragement and hope. You know, have you ever tried to talk to somebody and they can't hear anything you have said? Big shields up around them. Pastor Ralph, I love it when he says that we all go through things, so a lot of people stuff it. And when we stuff it, it's going to show up. It can show up as you're angry, you're bitter, you're hateful, you're selfish. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. Do you have a hypocritical heart? So I must confess, I have had this heart condition. When I outwardly say that I love Jesus and I want to love like him, but I refuse to love my neighbor as myself. I'd say probably the truth of it is that we all, at some point in our life, have had a hypocritical spirit. We're human. But this is why we need Jesus. This is why Jesus came and died for us. I had somebody that I work with. He's very sick. He has liver failure. He has, will tell you that he's drank every day for many, 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 many years. And it has caught up with him. And he has to go every couple weeks and get fluid drained off of him. Sometimes 12 to 18 pounds at one time. And he does not believe in Jesus. So I felt led to talk to him and ask him if he would consider taking a paid leave of absence to just take care of himself and if there's anything that he wanted to do. I'm not really sure that he will survive. So I just kind of listened to him talking, and he said, you know, I probably could have a procedure. I just don't want to take the time off from work to go have it done and, you know, have a drain put in. And then he put his head down, and he said, he got real tenderhearted and says, I'd like to go see my brother in Boston. I said, whatever his name is. I said, the only thing I can do for you is two things. I can give you a paid leave of absence, and I can pray for you. And I know what you're going to say on the second one. I don't believe in prayer, but if it makes you feel better, do it. He didn't say that this time. So he said, I said, I think, you know, he's a veteran, and so I said, between that and your health insurance, I think you can get everything done that you need, you know, just let me know if something doesn't work out or whatever, you know, keep me posted. He said, you know, he said, I've gotten in the mail from the VA, and it says it's a billing statement, and it lists VA's paid, this was his, you know, $22,000. You owe nothing. You owe nothing. This is why Jesus came. He paid the price. And when he said that to me, it struck me like, and so he leaves, and I'm in the office with my CFO, and I looked at him and I said, did you just hear what he said? Yeah. I said, that's what the gospel is all about. The price was paid. You owe nothing. I said, why do we make it so difficult? Why do we do that? And I said, that is why Jesus came. And he's sitting there, he looks at me, he goes, that's it in a nutshell, isn't it? Well, I've been witnessing to him too. And I was like, yes, praise the Lord. You heard it. It was right there in front of you. I pray that as individuals, we can open our heart with that hypocritical part of us. Move it over. Step on it. Sit on it. Clip its tongue. That we also can do the same with the doors of our church. Where the sign says, welcome all. All the prideful. All the judgmental. All the angry. All the hopeless. All the hard-hearted. Even the hypocrites. everyone. God's word says we all are loved, accepted, and forgiven. And I pray that that individual that I work with, that the Spirit will speak to him where he knows that he is everyone, he is all. I really do. As we enter this new year, we are blessed with opportunities to share the light of Jesus in the world. Travis's song was spot on. That's such a beautiful song, Travis. Thank you for that. I want to hear it again. In Matthew 3, as Jesus emerges from the waters of baptism, we hear the words of assurance and blessings from the heavens. And verse 17 says, "This is my dearly beloved Son, who brings me great joy." As God made this declaration, his Spirit fell on Jesus, and it ordained him for the ministry he was about to take up. We see Jesus fulfilling his role as the obedient Son of God. What an example of being faithful to God. So, in our own baptisms, we identify ourselves with Christ. We become one with him so that we can share his calling. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do this work. As we stop to reaffirm our baptism this morning, do you hear Jesus saying to us, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Do you hear the call to be God's light in the world? This is a long scripture, but bear with me because I think it's really important that we hear the whole thing. It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. "Look at my servant, whom I strengthen. He is my chosen one, who pleases me. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged. He will not falter or lose heart until justice prevails through the earth. Even distant lands beyond the sea will wait for his instructions. God the Lord created the heavens and stretched them out. He created the earth and everything in it. He gives breath to everyone, life to everyone who walks the earth. And it is he who says, 'I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness. I will take you by the hand and guard you, and I will give you to my people Israel as a symbol of my covenant with them, and you will be a light to guide the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else, nor share my praise with carved idols. Everything I prophesied has come true. And now I will prophesy again. I will tell you the future before it happens." Thank you, Lord, for your word. If you're seeking a New Year's resolution, consider to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to open the eyes of those that cannot see around you, to mend the brokenhearted, and to reach out to those that are in need. In 2 Corinthians, Paul urged the community of Corinth to expand their vision to see everything as becoming new. This kind of seeing moves us beyond what our eyes can plainly see. Humanity focuses on what is broken, what is limiting, what is wrong in both ourselves and everybody else around us. God does not look at us through the lens of our brokenness. Thank you, Jesus. He looks at us through the lens of who we are becoming in him. So let's begin to see ourselves in the world through his eyes. Jesus poured out his heart to those around him. And in this new year, we have a chance and an opportunity to pour out. We can either keep it inside or we can give it away. I don't often fulfill my New Year's resolutions, as I've confessed to you, but my prayer is that we can love others the way that Jesus loves us.